Welcome to Nairobi Chapel Embakasi. We grow deep to reach wide.
The title for the sermon for today is The Rock. The Rock. Not Dwayne Johnson? Yes. But before we start, lift me up or what on somebody you are So how many of you have watched Star Wars or know about Star Wars? Okay. So kuna mtu hapo alikwamba Obi-Wan. Yeah. So what did Obi-Wan tell Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego when he met them? May the fourth be with you. So anyway, that jokes. Thank God nimekaza. So we are looking at a guy named Peter, formerly known as Simon, a disciple of Christ. Yeah, and Simon basically means shifting sand, something that is constantly changing, that is quite unpredictable. And if you read the story of Simon Peter, you'll understand that this guy was quite unpredictable, quite impulsive in what he used to do and how he used to react. So Simon heard of Jesus from his brother Andrew. John chapter 1 verse 40 says that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said. That is John the Baptist, who had said and followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. So the first thing Jesus does when he's introduced to Simon is to change his name from Simon to Peter. Peter means rock, the rock. And you know, before these guys became disciples, these guys were fishermen. So you can imagine, probably in his previous life, when they go to fish, maybe some of the fish they used to wanakula, wanajipikia. So you can imagine when it was his turn to cook, maybe he had a tag like that. "Do you smell what the rock is cooking?" Anyway, so as we've seen, Jesus changes this guy's name from Simon to Peter, from shifting sand to the rock, and he would be the rock upon which the church would be established. And if you read through the Gospels, you actually come to discover that this guy, I've mentioned he was impulsive, but he was also an activist, yeah? Angekuwa squeezing, angekuwa kama boni. So Peter becomes a disciple of Christ, and he starts experiencing Jesus at work. So you can imagine from a fisherman, all of a sudden you're seeing miracles happening left, right, and center. And even Peter himself is a beneficiary of these miracles, because we are told in Luke 4:38 that Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. So Peter was experiencing Jesus at work. So among the disciples, there was like an inner circle, a kitchen cabinet. Peter, James, and John. Those guys were like the inner circle. So kuna the 12, then kuna wale, the three of the 12 who are sort of closer to Jesus than these other ones. So Peter grows very close to Christ, and he begins to understand that this is just no ordinary leader. Jesus is not just an ordinary leader we are following. In John chapter 6, at this point, Jesus had gone around, everywhere he goes, he's feeding people, he's healing people and all that. But Jesus now calls out his followers of him, the multitudes, and he tells them, "You guys are only following me because of food. That's the only reason you're following me." And in many companies, so basically, what Esther was telling you in high school, our school, almost every Saturday, there used to be a wedding reception for beach. And you know you're a boarder. So we used to, everyone of us used to have a suit in the box. So neighbor Saturday, you check into that wedding, you don't even know whose wedding that is, just to eat. So Jesus calls out these followers and tells them in John 6 that you guys are just following me because of food. And he tries to explain to them the concept of him being the bread of life, and they don't get it. In fact, we are told a number of these followers left and they stopped following Jesus. Then in John chapter 6, verse 66, now Jesus says, the Bible says, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Then Jesus asked the 12, you do not want to leave too, do you? Then Simon Peter normally was the first guy to respond whenever Jesus said something. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So Peter is experiencing Jesus in even a deeper way and realizing that this guy is not just an ordinary leader. This guy is the one, the Holy One of God. Now, as I said, Peter was normally this. So another joke. So there's another part of scripture whereby Jesus is talking to this guy and he asks them, who do you say I am? Am I the Messiah? Peter says, Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Yes, you are. Yeshua. Thank you. That joke says in the afternoon as you are. But time passes by and we get to a place whereby Jesus starts to speak about his upcoming suffering and death, and we saw this last week. And guess who was the first person to respond to that? It was Peter once again. Yeah. In fact, he even had the audacity to rebuke Jesus. Yeah. Matthew chapter 6, 21 and 22 says that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Peter alerted Jesus in my attempt. As in, he had some guts. Yeah. But the good thing with Peter is that the way he was quick to react to things, he was also quick to learn from mistakes he makes. And you can see the transition from Simon to Peter, from shifting sand to him being the rock. He repents and never again does he confuse suffering with it being like a curse. And actually, if you read the story of Peter, even after Jesus ascends, he went through a lot of suffering. But he understood that this was a genuine way for your faith to be tested by fire. Now, further on, these three guys in the inner circle, they witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. So you can see Peter is just getting to learn more about Jesus and getting closer to him. And he gets to this point and realizes this is not just an awesome godly leader we have, but this guy is both fully man and fully God. And just before the Passover festival, Jesus does something quite radical and unheard of, but it was quite symbolic. He washes his disciples' feet. In John chapter 13, from verse 4, we're told, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to, guess who? Came to Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then listen to what Peter says. Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Yeah? But Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. So Jesus goes ahead to the further verses and predicts that one of them is going to betray him. Also, guess what the first to react after that? Once again, it was Peter. If you look at The same chapter, verse 23, says that one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. I think one of the fascinating things I like about this, we are reading from the book of John. The author of the book of John is John. Yeah. John refers to people by their names, but when he comes to himself, he says, "The disciple whom Jesus loved." I'm like, really? Really? Yeah, it reminds me of a John I know. Yeah. Then, further on, Jesus proceeds to predict that Peter would deny him. Verse 35 says that, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus had just, prior to that, told them that he was going somewhere. Then he finishes by telling them that, people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter did not even listen to that last part. He asked in verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Then Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And in this case, just say this before processing, what is it you're saying? Yeah? Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And other gospels, when they're talking about this story, they actually say that Peter said, "I will never disown you." He actually goes ahead and says, "I will never disown you." And you know, I was looking at this and I was like, if I was Jesus, I think this would have been the first disciple to be fired on earth. Yeah? Because he just has a comment on anything and everything without processing it. But thank God, it was not me, it was Jesus. Yeah? But Peter was coming from a good place. Maybe his approach was a bit wrong, a bit brazen, but he was coming from a good place. He wanted to prove his loyalty. And even further on, when we go to chapter 18 of the book of John, verse 10, we see Peter trying to help Jesus. So they're in the garden, and Jesus has come to be arrested. And you are told in verse 10, Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. 11 says that Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So you can see, Peter was quite radical, yeah, an activist. And he was trying to come to the rescue of Jesus. He was trying to help Jesus. And it reminds me of many a times, like I know myself, at times I find myself trying to help God in situations. I pray for something, and I ask for direction, and I immediately take action, sort of telling God, "Utanipona mbele." Yeah. At times, unaweza kumwambia, "Wacha mimi nianze safari ya kwenda Mombasa." Then when you get to Mutitwande, he tells you, "Actually, I was sending you to Kampala." So you started going in the opposite direction. You have to come all this way back. Yeah. Or at times, you pray to God and you feel his delay. You take matters into your own hands and you end up messing up. So Peter was trying to help Jesus, but he did not understand that Jesus had to go through what he went through. He had to be arrested. He had to be crucified. So Jesus is arrested and the disciples scatter. But Peter follows from a distance. Ile kwa umbali tu anamfuata, anamfuata. Verse 17, we get to a point whereby one of the girls there asks Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" She asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." In verse 25, we are told again that meanwhile Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." For the second time, he denied that he's Jesus' disciple. Then one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden. And I mean, at this point, I think Peter must have thought, everyone knows me, yeah? And verse 27 says that, again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So what Jesus had told him, three times he denied him. The rooster has crowed. And I can imagine Peter must have felt crushed. Yeah? Because I'm sure when he was telling Jesus that mimi siwezi kuacha, he meant it. I'm sure he meant it. But here he is. He has denied Christ three times. He must have felt crushed, embarrassed. And remember, the Lord Jesus was also his boy. And he was about to be killed. So he must have been at a very down moment in his life. And he must have joined all the other disciples in hiding as they waited for their inevitable arrest and probably even death. But as we saw last week, Jesus made a comeback. I will not make any more comeback puns, because after Percy listened to the sermon, he reached out to me. So I will not make any more comeback puns this week. But we saw that Jesus rose from the dead, he resurrected. That is the main story of Easter. Now, if we move to verse 20 of the book of John, this disciple whom Jesus loved decides to give us a fascinating story. Then he gives us a side story inside the main story. So if you look at verse 2, it says, so she, Mary Magdalene, came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Verse 3, so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Now listen to verse 4. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Wow. John. John tewalianza kitambo. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight to the tomb. Verse 8 says, finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, in case you forget, also went inside. He saw and believed. So these guys, yes, they were excited. They were told, Jesus had told them that he would rise from the dead, but they've gotten there, the body is not there. It's something new to them. They were excited. I'm sure they were a bit confused as well. And even for Peter, I'm sure it was a bit awkward, because the last conversation they had with Jesus, he actually did not keep his word by saying that he would stand by Jesus. He disowned Jesus. So I'm imagining he was worried about when he met Jesus again, what would that conversation be like? Now, as I mentioned, these guys were fishermen before they were called to be fishers of men. So probably in their disillusionment, they know Jesus is alive now, they are wondering, bado tuko na job, ama job ilikatika. So they must have thought, let's go back to what we knew before Christ, what we were good at, and that was fishing. And we see this in John 21 verse 3. So it says, Simon Peter says, I am going out to fish. And the other say, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. So these guys are seasoned fishermen. And they spent a whole night and they caught zero. They caught nothing. And you know, at times when we find ourselves in difficult situations, at times we run back to what is familiar to us. Maybe what I used to do before I encountered God. Or even something I did when I met God, but I was doing by the help of God. But right now I'm trying to do it on my own strength. But what we see is that this is always empty. You get nothing at the end of it all. It might have been fruitful, but if you do it without God, you get nothing. And many a times I find myself there in disillusionment. I'm wondering what to do, and I end up going back to things probably I used to do and derive enjoyment from, and right now I cannot even derive anything from them because I've not invited God in that situation. Verse 4, we are told that early in the morning Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Verse 5 says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Jesus reached out to them, haven't you any fish? God is always reaching out to us in whatever situation we are in. Yeah? And at times we find ourselves wondering, is God there? Does God hear me? But I'm here to tell you that even in silence, by the way, God is there with you. So there is at times me and my wonderful daughter here tunakuanga na moments. You're trying to give an instruction and honor. I know better than you. So you leave them to do what they are doing and they learn their lesson. And they come back and I'm trying to ignore them. And at some point I go, "Aye, talk to me, talk to me." So at times even in that silence, God is trying to nudge you to feel uncomfortable so that you reach out to him. And God is always there extending an olive branch to us. "Haven't you any fish?" That's what he asked them. Then in verse 6 he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. So at this point they didn't know this was Jesus. And as seasoned fishermen, these guys had the right to question whom said nani. I'm sure they all knew each other, probably walikuwa was a group moja ya fishermen. Yeah. So they were like, "What right does this stranger have?" Yeah. And you can imagine to come Peter, labda yuko hapo, "Who ni nani huyu? Who are you? Who? Why between my fish and your passing around?" Yeah? Peter would have asked that. Yeah? But these guys don't take that route. They actually listen and obey and they reap a reward from that. Verse 7, we are told that then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And as I say, this guy is very impulsive. Maybe he jumped out and they were like, "Ah, we have a conversation with that guy." So you don't know whether he was running towards Jesus or away from Jesus. But we are told that Jesus had prepared for them a meal. Yeah. Had prepared some bread for them, and he actually asked them to bring the fish that they had caught, and he prepared breakfast for them. Verse 12, it says, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And you know that is exactly what these guys needed. These guys had fished the whole night and caught nothing. They must have been very hungry. And if you ask them, "Why do you fish?" They say, "Niunga tunatafuta." We are looking for mkate, kiwakula. So they get the fish, they go and sell it, they get money and they go and buy something to eat. So Jesus not only provided fish for them, but he actually made them a meal because they were hungry. Jesus met them at exactly their point of need because they were hungry. And I don't know what it is you're craving for right now, because Jesus can meet you at your point of need. The devil is a deceiver. He'll come and lie to you that you're not worthy, which is true. That you don't deserve it, which is all true. But the word tells us that God's grace, he's given it to us freely. We don't deserve it, but he's given it to us freely. So in whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever you're craving, it's only God who can satisfy. We can try so many things, and we'll come out like these guys in the morning, having caught nothing, unless we invite God in our situation. So these guys proceeded to eat the meal, and after washamaliza, I'm sure Peter and Jesus waliangalia na zile za, "Yeah, we need to have that conversation, yeah, before it gets awkward." And knowing Peter, probably had already rehearsed that conversation in his head. But Jesus took a different approach, which I really love. In verse 15, we are told, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So after denying Christ three times, Jesus now asks him 3 times if he loves him. And Peter responds 3 times that he does. I think we see the power of forgiveness here. Jesus gave Peter an opportunity 3 times to declare he loves Jesus. After having denied him 3 times, he gives him that opportunity to declare his love for Jesus 3 times. 3 times Jesus asks him to take care of his sheep. And 3 times Jesus acknowledges and powerfully forgives these denying disciples. Jesus had compassion on Peter. Jesus would have come and said, "Boss, sinilikuambia utani deny, sinilikushoto." But he did not take that approach. And this got me thinking, as Christians, I think we fail a lot because we are quick to point out the faults of our fellow believers. Yeah? We see fault with each other and we point out and we transfer what it is we're doing. We're transferring our guilt or projecting it onto that person. And what I've come to realize, if I see someone who is in a sin that I struggle with, I am even more harsh to that person. So I'm projecting my sin onto that person and I'm giving that person flack. And that should not be the case because no one is perfect. Rather than cast the first stone, may we encourage each other on towards love and good deeds. We're told this in Hebrews 10:24. Peter went on to be the rock upon which the church was established. The reason why you and I are here today. We know that Peter messed up, yes. But just a few days later, during Pentecost, he is standing before many people declaring the gospel. And the disciples are there with him. The disciples did not castigate him because they knew he had messed up. But they were there with him, encouraging him to carry out the mandate that he was given by Jesus. So for Peter, Easter was a roller coaster of emotions. But through it all, we are seeing God's faithfulness being seen and being experienced by Peter and by others. And just as we said last week, remember that this gift we are being given of forgiveness is a gift. So you decide either to accept it or to reject it. We have been given the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, the gift of power over sin and death by tapping into the power of Jesus. All this has been freely given to us, just like it was given to Peter. So my charge to you and I is, will you receive it?
Join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Trubani House off Airport North Road. Have a blessed week.